Wolf in the City 2. Wolves are returning. Returning to my dreams and nightmares. Night after night I saw the coyotes. Sometimes thousands of them, but most terrifyingly, sometimes only a lone coyote hunted me. Miss Teal rarely returned my calls, so I sold my car and bought a motorcycle. It was then I began to drink more than eat. With no cases except hers, I had no checks except hers. The lease in my apartment lapsed and I slept on the street. But I could not let her go. I had to know. I had to know the answer, solve the case, unravel the mystery to understand her, my obsession. There were some long, cold nights standing guard down the block from her house. To pass the time, I practiced what I would say if Leonard showed up again, but he stayed away for weeks. When he finally showed his face, Miss Teal had been waiting for him, too. She leapt down the steps and on the back of his motorcycle. Again, I followed him, but this time south. South across the Anacostia River, and a part of the city I would never have dared enter before, but I did not care, for I had nothing to lose. The sun was setting. When they parked and dismounted in a residential ghetto, I stopped a block behind them. Miss Teal began shouting at Leonard. From the stoop of a house next to me, a man walked up with his shoulders hunched and his hands in his pockets.
"What do you want? What do you want?"
he asked me. "Nothing," I said. "Nothing. I'm following those two people up there."
"Following him? What are you, a cop?"
He pulled a pistol from his waistband. Without thinking, I grabbed his gun and twisted it in a direction his wrist would not twist until it came free from his hand.
"Be quiet," I said.
Miss Teal was still yelling, so I ran at them. "Riley," she asked incredulously, "what are you doing here?" Leonard reached for a bulge in his jacket pocket, so I pressed the pistol to his shoulder and pulled the trigger. He shouted in pain and fell away. "I'm rescuing you." "Oh, Riley. Riley, he said he was taking me on a plane to Brazil. Riley, take me away from here." The sound of the shot had brought men running from all directions. "You eclipsed the sun," I told her. "You'll have to drive. I'm going to find your husband." "Wait, Miss Teal, before you go, tell me your name, your first name." She looked in my eyes and quietly, slowly, shyly told me, "Faye."
"Faye."
"Faye. And what, Mr. D. Riley, is your first name?"
"Doghouse. Doghouse Riley." She hitched up her skirt to straddle the bike and wobbled off into the growing darkness and disappeared. A bullet whizzed by my head, so I turned and fired at random until I was hit in the leg. I fell to the pavement, and the pain sunk me into unconsciousness. I gained consciousness again in a moldy-colored room, dimly lit with dozen-colored plastic red gold melted into the lamps. 12 men lounged on the floor and on chairs, smoking crack. Leonard was staring down at me.
"Are you going to kill him?"
"Not yet,"
said another man.
"I want to have some fun."
He raised his fist. I soon blacked out again. Again, I woke in the crackdown. I recognized Balustrade's hide to a chair next to me. "Hello, Congressman," I managed to say.
"Who the hell are you?"
he snorted. I laughed to myself. I winced into forming bruises on my face inflamed. "I'm the stranger with the pretty face." I looked around the room. We've been moved from the room with those doing drugs to an inner office. Leonard and the other man came into the room. The other man was large, and when he laughed, his whole body shook.
"How you feeling, Lancelot? You have so many drugs pumping through your system, I'd be surprised if you remained remotely alive for many more hours. PCP, LSD, DMT, meth. You're a walking chemistry set. Try to stand up. Just try it."
I stood up and instantly bowed to the waist and rolled my head in a slow circle.
"I guarantee you will never be sane again after this fucking trip experience. Apathy, enlightenment, zam. Now get the fuck out of here. Good luck finding a cab in my neighborhood. You may want to start running now."
I stumbled to the doorway and out into the street. 12 tough kids were waiting for me. They gave me a head start and started walking after me. Yelling at me, throwing trash and rocks. I started to run, so did they. I ran till I came to the river, then collapsed. They jumped me and kicked me with their boots until I bled. Once they left me in the pool of my own blood, I reached in my pocket for my cell phone. "Yorick," I cried, "you have to save me. I'm in Anacostia by the river."